This week on Video Deathloop. It's a beautiful world we live in, a sweet romantic place. Plus, look, we're sun-kissed. We want to fail. Hey everyone, welcome to Video Death Loop, the show where we watch a video on loop until one or both of us can't take it anymore. I'm your host this week, John Hurst, and over here is my co-host, Aaron Littleton.
Hello, John.
Hello.
Finally, you've released me from my long imprisonment.
Yeah, congratulations. We decided to let you free with the command of my voice in there. To go and be have, you know, now you got to keep in mind, it's in within the terms of your parole officer has agreed to. You got co-hosting duties this week, so you don't have full permission.
Wait, I'm in like actual prison? You know, I was hoping putting sort of a timer on that, you know, it was like some sort of supernatural, like, you've been trapped in a crystal for 1,000 years. Like, that's where my mind was, but I mean, yeah, sure. I'm in prison. Yeah. You're right. I mean, like regular ass prison.
It's nice that you were positive about it. So yeah. It was podcast prison though. Sorry. You were trapped in there for at least a week. So that's a long time in podcast terms.
I broke the sacred rule of, being a podcast host, which is, without a doubt, don't mention the magical crystal that we imprison people in for 1,000 years.
Now, here's the truth about it. No one tells you about the magical crystal because we're sworn to secrecy. But we are an exposé podcast alongside being a comedy podcast.
We kind of are. I mean, sometimes when we get worked up, when you talk about an exposé, we'll name names. We'll absolutely name names. We'll call up game stores that have the same logo as the game store in Control-Alt-Delete fucking live on the podcast to find out if they are somehow related to the Control-Alt-Delete webcomic.
It's true.
The progenitor of the loss meme. Mm-hmm. We'll absolutely do that.
Yeah.
And so we will.
Yeah, not only that, but we're not like the other podcasts out there. We're not afraid to say what's on our mind, right, Aaron?
Yeah, unlike all those other guys that are just sort of
those dweebs.
They're really timid when it comes to saying stuff.
yeah, they like stammer on their words and don't make a stand. We make a stand, and we're here bringing you the truth about the podcast prison that they send us to when we're not on the air. I've been there every time.
Yeah, it's like at a weekly check-in. They give him a key so he can put himself in prison.
Yeah, I mean, they know me that well. I go like, hey, what's up, Warden McElroy? What's up?
I mentioned our crystal again. But see, we have to be sure that we're very clear. Podcast prison is just a regular ass prison. Okay. Yeah. It's cinder block walls, it's metal bars, it's, you know, bad food.
Yeah, all the works.
The crystal that we imprison things in for millennia is, it's a different thing. We don't go in there. We just go to regular prison for mentioning it, which we've already done that this week, so we'll be back in there soon, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, like, we've already mentioned it once, so, you know, like, it doesn't stack on each other. So you mentioned it once per your podcast episode. You just go, you stop the recording after you're done, and you just meander on to your local podcast prison after that point, and they go like, hey, what's up? And it's like, you mentioned the crystal again? And go, yeah, I mentioned the crystal again, and we just serve our terms. So, you know, like, if you wonder what we do the rest of the week, we're in podcast prison. That's where we are.
Okay, John, no fooling. How do you think you would deal with being in prison, like regular prison?
Like real prison? Probably
like
not very
real
well.
Ass. Yeah, I don't. Yeah, I don't know. I was going to say, do you think you would thrive in prison, John? I'm not sure if anyone thrives in prison.
No, I think I would be. I think the only thing that would give me joy is trying to maybe save enough for one of those clear TVs or something that they you can only order for prisons. So what? They make sure you.
Like, I don't know anything about this.
Oh, you don't know about the private military, like the prison complex of the. There's a lot of things going on with like you can buy stuff for your cell, but it's they got to make sure you don't have like weapons in there or shivs or anything like that. So it's all clear. So if you know where all that queer technology came from in the 80s and 90s, do you know where it all went? It went to prisons. That's where it is.
Oh, now. Okay. It didn't like originate in prisons and then we got it later. Just some like prison man saw it and was like, hey, prisoners could have those in their cells.
It could be. It could possibly be.
So you get to outfit your like prison cell these days?
I mean, it's very hard. It's like picking up like Kool-Aid points essentially, but it's you can eventually make like you can order things for it. And I'm not the expert on this at all. So there's definitely way more detail and issues that go alongside of it. But I believe you.
Oh, yeah.
You can,
no, let's be honest.
Or your family.
Everything about this is
very expensive.
It's just about the most exploitative, terrible human rights abuse I can imagine.
Yeah, okay. But if you want a clear iPod, there you go.
I guess. I don't think I'm suited for prison. I don't think that would be the place for me. It's an effective deterrent. You know, if I'm thinking about getting into some illegal shenanigans, I'd be like, yeah, but I might go to prison, so yeah. That's a no-go. That's not for me. I do feel like I've known people that would probably be okay to be in prison. Like, not that they deserve to go there, but just the atmosphere would have suited their personality in some strange way.
Like, they'd be in the prison yearbook for most likely to succeed, basically. Like
most likely to not leave when his cell door is opened. Yeah. Michael Henderson. You want to talk about an expose podcast? Here we are.
Potential on that. Like it'd just be like a yearbook of their mugshots and stuff. It just like they didn't have to update them or anything.
Yearbook. Yeah. Oh, that's very good, John.
I don't think if I had to be in a like in a prison, I don't think that like I would be an emotional wreck. Like it would not be go well for me. Podcast prison though, I think I'd find I don't know who you make friends with there. Do you make friends with the true crime people and like you like say, hey, give me some tips, or I don't know which path I go there.
True crime is like, I feel like that is the podcast prison gang you join if you are trying to sort of suck up to the guards, right? Mm-hmm. Because I think that the true crime people would feel they should not be in there, right? They're constantly investigating their own case about being in podcast prison and trying to record episodes to convince a mistrial to happen or something. So they're very, you know, they're sort of law enforcement adjacent, which is, you know, not always a cool
right
look. I feel like we'd all just sort of be trying to one-up each other, which would be fun for a little bit, but then just exhausting. Because I don't know if any of us, sometimes when you get to know comedians in real life, they turn out to be just absolutely miserable people. So it's either like a lot of times they turn out to be miserable people. And the idea of like the two modes of like being friends with like a bunch of comedy podcasters sitting around would either be, you know, constant trying to be the funniest guy in the room, which is exhausting emotionally.
Yeah.
And then just like, oh my God, here's my trauma that makes me a comedy man.
It's two sides of the same coin, really. It's a two mask, a two drama masks. It just happens to be they're out in the yard. They're pumping iron and then like trying to bring in a tight five to their abs or something like that in there. But as soon as like the lights go down, it just, you know, it's all about like who can I pawn a cigarette off of and tell you about my life's trouble.
Yes. I don't know. I don't think I'm making friends. I think I'm wanting them to be sort of scared of me. I want to be left alone in podcast prison.
Okay. What about the video game podcasters? I think that'll be a good.
They'd be fine. Point. A little smelly maybe, but higher chance than normal of being just a terrible shit bag of like political beliefs. But you know, some of them, the ones I listen to, probably not. But are they going to podcast prison? I don't know. I've never heard them talk about the mystical crystal that we imprison people in for a millennia.
It's a good point. All the podcasts we listen to, no one talks about the crystal. It's all the ones that you all at home listen to. It's really weird.
Right.
That I bet we're the
only crystals. I bet we're the only podcast talking about that crystal.
We just like we like it's like I don't know why they keep showing up. They keep talking about the crystal. They but we don't have just crystals. I got a video to show you.
Okay, I'm ready to see it.
Mm-hmm. Cool. You have no idea what it is. I do.
That's true. That's how these things go.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to watch it in 3, 2, 1.
Okay, this seems to be a Target commercial.
It is a Target commercial. It's a very orange pastel Target color themed commercial from 1999 with talking about with like very pastiche of brands and things you could find at your local Target.
Like, okay. I don't remember this commercial at all. I'm confident I have seen it at some point. Is it notable in some capacity?
No. It's a commercial for Target that I was like, what haven't we had in a while? And it's just like you know what? Big box store commercial. Why not? Throwing in there. Guy entering, you trying to do his laundry. Notably, this whole Target commercial is not in a Target. It's in a laundromat for the most part.
I will say, okay, there are some, you know, interesting visuals in this. You know, it's all been, I feel like this was right when we sort of discovered, like, what is it where the color correction, you know, how the Matrix has kind of got green everywhere.
Yeah.
And it was sort of around this time too. This Target commercial, probably we're like, oh, color correction, huh? We can just film something and color correct it to orange. Great. Orange. That's a color associated with Target. Are you sure this has not been like somehow color washed out before being transferred to digital and it was all red? But it's not. It's definitely not, because it's got like sun-kissed and goldfish and Tide. Yeah, no, it's definitely that. I mean, that's a choice, right?
Yeah, and they I did look at a couple other, like around the same time. This was part of their whole targeting ad. From Target, where they had different colors going on. Like there's a blue one and a red one of the same type, where they're in a situation where there's random haphazardly displayed brands all over the place while they're trying to do a normal mundane task.
Right.
This one happened to be like with Motrin IB and Tide and fish for some reason looking at.
And Fanta. Fanta, or is it Sunkist? I'll have to.
It's Sunkist here. Yeah.
Is it somehow? I saw that, and it was. I read it as Fanta.
I get it. It's around that same time where like
it is a Sunkist water fountain. Actually, three of them. Sunkist. Is Sunkist an orange juice or is it a soda?
It's a soda. It's an orange soda.
Okay, it's an orange soda.
Yeah, but they also make Sunkist grape, but I don't know if they had that during this time. Yeah,
Sunkist grape.
Yeah, you could get a little
field there, orange Sunkist. I mean, I get it. I don't know. I feel like if your whole brand is based around a single fruit, but
or
then
the sun.
Also or the sun, right? But it's orange. and it's an orange soda. And when you're trying to diversify, it's like, listen, we've got this orange soda market cornered to the point that we have sun-kissed water fountains, which I do not believe are ejecting water. Like, they have to be shooting sun-kissed.
Oh yeah,
there's no way that they're not.
Yeah, what happened was that color correction that you mentioned earlier. It actually color corrected the orange in the sun-kissed to just look like water. That's what happened there.
Oh yeah, it reversed it back.
Yeah,
gotcha.
Yeah, it's like a Jesus thing, but more corporate.
That's how these things work. So we have to come back to a Jesus thing, but more corporate. But I guess my point is, you've got a thing. It's an orange soda. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
You can't, if you do that again, you're just going to get sun-kissed again. Am I right? So
yeah.
If you want to expand the brand, your two choices are you do another soda or you do another orange thing. So I guess your implication is that, like, with the grape sun-kissed, they banked on the soda brand and was like, okay, we'll do a different fruit, but ultimately the sun-kissed brand is a soda brand. It is not an orange brand. It's not like they made orange chewing gum.
Yeah, more kissed, less sun, I think, is the plan on there. Like, we have to we have to really, whatever our kissed is in this case, they went all in.
I guess that's a kind of soda, carbonated sweet beverage.
Mm-hmm.
If they had gone the other way, okay, I mentioned chewing gums. Mm-hmm. Do you think there's, like, how do you expand, like, an orange, like, they've decided their brand is artificial orange flavor.
Yeah, delicious.
Yeah.
Like, how do you, like, do you go more natural? Do you, what do you do at that point? Do you,
yeah, I guess you could mess around and do, like, an orange, like a natural, all natural.
Like Sunny D? Like a Sunny D kind of thing? Because Sunny D is not orange juice, and it's also not orange soda. It is its own thing.
Its own, yep. It's something. It's something I've never quite, it's like orange
it's
juice,
a lie.
But milk is in it. I don't know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you could do like an orange, I don't know, shampoo, like a shampoo that smells like orange. I don't think I've ever encountered that.
I feel like you have, but they usually don't use the word orange for it. They probably use, like, with a hint of citrus or something like that.
Okay, yeah.
Like, they don't go orange sun-kissed shampoo.
Sun-kissed shampoo. It's like, is it sugar?
Sugar
there? Edible shampoo.
Come get the ants. Ants will be in your hair soon.
You're on the fast track to head diabetes. Sun-kissed shampoo.
I don't think Sun-kissed has any caffeine, but, you know, that is one of the things. Like, for a while there, they were trying to do, like, caffeinated soap and other ways to, like, absorb caffeine in there. I know, remember, like, being the ThinkGeek had one, like something like that. So, like, a caffeinated soda branded shampoo, not out of the picture in this realm in 1999.
No, you're right. It's a strong possibility in 1999 that you can get a caffeinated shampoo. What would you think would be the worst thing that the Sun-Kissed brand would do? That would just, you're right, I don't know, I want that out of Sun-Kissed.
In a similar way, Sun-Kissed deodorant. I don't know if I'd want to smell like Sun-Kissed, like in my pits, you know?
I don't think... I would, but I do see where maybe some people might want a citrusy, you know, deodorant. See, I was thinking guns. Sun-kissed guns.
Is it a branded gun with, like, the Sun-kissed logo, or is it like an orange gun?
Sun-kissed logo. The bullets smell like oranges.
Oh, well, good. So when so you leave a trace at the crime scene. Okay.
Well,
other than the bullet markings and everything else.
Surely more than one person would buy a sun-kissed gun.
Imagine like the detectives coming up, real detectives, not podcast prison detectives.
That podcast determine prison detectives. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. Real detectives, hard-boiled detectives coming down. It's like, another day on the job. Oh, I hate this. Does it smell like sun-kissed in here? It smells pretty good.
I'll just not solve this murder.
I'll just enjoy the atmosphere.
Yeah, you get away with it. Thus, a great argument for sun-kissed guns.
We help you get away with murder.
Yeah.
You know, and I think for some, you know, I think there's some headway on there. I think they could have a little bit of a market for that.
I mean, especially if the Sunkist brand somehow it just started making really aggressive moves, right? Like maybe they do make like a Sunkist, like you said, grape goes well for them. All right, well, we got Sunkist grape.
Yeah.
And then they go, okay, well, we'll make Sunkist deodorant, and that's fine. And just as they expand, they somehow become America's number one company. I mean, they're just succeeding in all sectors. It just turns out that people just are very hungry for the Sunkist brand,
right,
to be just engaging with it in different ways, you know, putting it on their armpits, chewing it, murdering people with it. Like it's a big win. And so when you get to the point that Sunkist is everywhere, and then the detective comes in and smells that sweet sun-kissed, you know, gunpowder smell. You're like, well, that doesn't narrow it down. Everyone walking around out there with sun-kissed deodorant on, or that wash their hair with their sun-kissed shampoo, it could be a potential, you know, piece of evidence or potential obfuscating factor. Because how do we know that? If we smell that, it just might be Susie over there with her sun-kissed flip-flops that have sun-kissed smell and flavoring.
Yeah, I think any urban street on a sunny afternoon probably going to smell like sun-kissed with that rapid popularity that the brand has achieved in a small amount of time.
Yeah, I'd say no slower than, I think, 10 years. I think Sunkist is at any point 10 years away from being the dominant brand in the entire in the entire United States.
Bold.
I'm not saying they get purchased outside the US. I think this is very much a US based thing. They're not global.
Yeah, I feel like it might be owned by Coca-Cola when I think about it, but I'm not sure. So, but yeah, let's say like in this case,
Sunkist becomes so popular they're able to unmerge from Coca-Cola.
Oh shit! Okay,
they buy themselves back from the Coke brand, and then they start making overtures of buying the Coke brand and renaming it Sunkist Coca-Cola.
Sunkist presents Coca-Cola.
Yes, Sunkist presents. Exactly.
And I
have
to rename the Coca-Cola Stadium to like the Sunkist presents Coca-Cola Stadium Stadium.
It's exactly what you do. That's exactly what you do. I would think that Sunkist at some point they become, I mean, their rise is just astronomical, right? Mm-hmm. And at some point, you get them real big heads in the room going, like, what are we doing? Like, why does this work? Why does everything we do become a massive success? And there's some degree of they're like, okay, we have somehow evolved without realizing it. Like, natural selection has happened to create the company to succeed in this economic environment. But the problem is, just like humans, the more successful they are, the more they change the economic environment that they are that they are evolved to succeed in.
True. It's a case where they are not adapting to the environment. The environment is adapting to them. Like, because right. they are the apex predator at this yes. case. They are.
And perhaps too much the apex predator, right? Like, if you put everyone else out of business, there's just something about the way that, you know, these other companies exist in a, you know, like in opposition, if anything, to Sunkist, mm-hmm. that's part of that secret sauce. So Sunkist starts buying these legacy brands and just sort of quietly renaming them like Sunkist Presents Slim Jim, right? Like they're mm-hmm. like, okay, what happens if we accidentally put Slim Jim out of business? Do we have the modeling to understand, is the Slim Jim company existing part of the reason of our success? We do not know.
They're getting philosophical about this at this point, though. So they're thinking of, like, if they feel at fault if another company from another entirely different medium or like a different food product such as Slim Jim or Motrin IB or Tide, if they go out of business at this point, they feel at fault and they ought to like replace what was a gaping hole in the American way of life.
They could put any company out of business. And our Sunkist is now the greatest company that's ever existed by a factor of like a million.
More likely than you think scenario. At this point, I'll be honest.
Yeah, no, it's close. It's close. There's something about this that's ringing incredibly true for me the more we talk about it. It's that, you know, it's like humans, right? Like, okay, who gives a shit if we kill all these, you know, fish? And then, oh, well, we like them. We're going to eat all these fish. And then later on, it turns out the fish, you know, ate the snail. And then the mm-hmm. snail, like, if it runs amok without the fish, it kills, I don't know, the plants that the humans eat or something. Mm-hmm. Right. And so that is what the Sunkist company is struggling to understand, because they do not understand their market appeal. Like, they're like, guys, we just sell shit that tastes like artificial orange flavor.
Yeah. I'm gonna point out
we cannot fathom why any of this is working as well as it is. So we have to assume that there is an innumerable number of unknown factors, and we have to constantly be afraid of changing the landscape too much.
I think all the factors are here, actually, because like what we're seeing in this video, we're seeing a world that is incredibly dumb in a lot of ways. We are seeing Tide sure. probably spend all their money on making way too large vending machines for their product. Like, yeah, like right. the size of that vending machine compared to the human putting in there, it is like a monstrosity. It is like two stories tall. Motrin IB has branded out into like hairstyling chairs and like which I guess they deal with the head. They try to do the Sunkist thing, but they did not succeed. They went the wrong path, wrong avenue, wrong place, wrong time there. We saw Slim Jim's trying to do saloon doors. That Wimmo, but Sunkist figured out that happenstance in there. It's like, you know what humans need? Water. Or in our case, orange soda in fountain form. We need three of them in every public facility. And it turned out to be the right path, and they were able to grow on that. And now they're thinking about the conservation of their corporate lifestyle before they go too egregiously big.
Right. So as Sunkist, they just buy up companies just so they keep doing whatever. You just keep doing exactly what you're doing. Pretend like you're not owned by Sunkist. Don't mm-hmm. ever change, though. If you ever feel like changing, tell us, and we'll pay you to not change.
Right.
We need you very much to keep doing just whatever you're doing right now, because it's the secret to our success, apparently.
Well, we will send our lawyers to help you out, because we do not want your responsibility. I feel like would Sunkist lose their way, though, as a known originally as a citrus orange based soda brand of some sort, which I don't think there's any citrus in whatsoever in Sunkist. It's just orange. It just looks orange. But do you think they lose their way and not like is there now a gap that they themselves have left for going to guns and other forays?
I mean, it's very possible.
Does Tide make a soda is what I'm trying to ask here.
Tide Yes. Well,
the Tide Pod soda.
Tide makes a soda, Tide Pod soda. It's great. Everyone loves it. It's the hottest trend of 2017. Mm-hmm. I think they could, but I also just really, I could see them potentially trying to fail, right? Like, could they go, could like, okay, yeah, Tide, make a soda. Here, we'll subsidize it. We want to see if it's possible for us to lose. Do whatever you need to. Make the kids eat the Tide Pods, then release the soda. It'll be, you know, that'll work. Just try it. Here, you do that. Make some money.
Oh, so Sunkist is betting on themselves here. They're like, please let we need to be cut back. We need to be stricken down a leg or two.
I think you have to have some level of skunk works inside of Sunkist to determine if it is possible for them to fail, right? Like, you have to have a guy that's like, okay, now we're gonna do, I don't know, Sunkist kicks in the nuts, and it's just a guy. It's like a guy, and he wears an orange like suit that says Sunkist, and he just goes around, and you give him $100, and he kicks you in the nuts, like super, man, like just an incredibly unappealing product. But like, will people go for it? Because I think as a corporation, if your success becomes so like completely understandable, you have to go out and find the areas where you could potentially fail. But of course, in our scenario, none of this works, right? Mm-hmm. Like, it's kicking the nuts Sunkist guy is a massive success.
Oh, 100%. Like, he's like person of the fiscal quarter.
And because if you are Sunkist, you have to know what won't work. Because if you have people, if you have like product designers that have to like, oh, we're trying to come up with the next great Sunkist idea, like, just fucking get rid of them. It doesn't matter. Apparently anything you slap Sunkist on becomes a huge financial success, a cultural darling. And if it is impossible, I think, to fail, I think you just have to like just, I think you kill humanity at that point, because you're just like, Sunkist poison drink.
This is just like, we have introduced the Sunkist poison. We are not introducing the Sunkist antidote. That is never coming out. We are all dead.
Poison. Drink it. It's a beautiful world.
I'm tapping, man. I'm tapping. Okay. Cannot hear this song anymore, because I wish to die.
Yes. Well, do I have the orange beverage for you? It's Sunkist poison.
It tastes like citrus, so you know it's bad and good. Oh, Aaron, that is did that make you want to shop at Target or see this world as a beautiful world?
I don't know. I like the fish.
Yeah, like the fish.
There were fish in the commercial. They were all right.
Yeah, they went well.
There were fish. There were some babes. There's like a good looking dude doing his laundry.
Yeah, there was an AOL keyword.
AOL keyword. I saw that AOL keyword. I didn't pay attention. I don't know what was that AOL keyword, John.
AOL keyword Target. They were Target.
It wasn't like beautiful world for this particular. They didn't buy a keyword for this brand opportunity.
No, they weren't thinking that far ahead. They were just thinking about their brand name and going, whatever they did. Did you ever have AOL, Aaron, when growing up? Did you ever use an AOL keyword?
I don't know. I feel like we were all around it. I think I was a CompuServe guy.
Okay.
I was being served CompuS.
They were like, imagine if like just really pretty gopher pages that were not really, they weren't web pages at all. They were just like these bad apps on AOL, that had like maps and all there. And like, I'm trying to remember, like, they usually had like a message board or like there might have been like a Target AOL chat in there where you could talk about Target deals or whatever you did in them. But the
I would love if there was some archive of the AOL keyword target message board.
Oh,
love
man.
To know what people were on about in the late 90s on the target keyword page.
Oh, definitely talking about like how it's just, you know, it's like way too red in there, way too red. We need more orange, and that's probably what spawned this commercial.
Yep. More orange, more sun-kissed.
Yeah. You know, I'm glad we, you know, Sunkist did not fulfill their full prowess there.
It's better for all of us, I think. It's better for all of us.
Yeah. I mean, like, we're not much better off, but we're getting there. We're getting there.
We're getting there. Yeah, we're definitely getting there. I feel like it's maybe about time to put my heels up in podcast jail for a while. Just let whatever the world is doing do it for a while. I'll come out when it's over.
Do you think they'll let us in the crystal, maybe? Like, if we ask, like, because I usually
just
go
in the crystal jail for a millennia?
Yeah, I'm thinking it might be nice to get in there. Like, I'll be honest. Like, when they give us the podcast crystal, expose time, by the way, everyone. When they gave us a podcast crystal, I've just been storing shit in there, like a used storage. I put my Nintendo in there, a couple of games and stuff, and that. But I haven't done anything with it, like outside of, like, you know, talking about it. So maybe they just let me like live in the crystal for a while, and I think things will be okay by the time I get out.
Okay, I'll throw in some, I don't know, lasagna here and there.
Yeah, just like, you know, through a little the mail slot in the crystal.
Yeah, the crystal mail slot.
Here. Yeah, it's protected from all dimensions except for that mail slot, which anyone can access actually. So
you can get your target flyers. What's the deals for the week?
Yeah, see what's half off or double coupon Tuesday. Hell yeah. I can't go to it because I'm in the crystal, but, you know, it's nice to know.
You can keep up. You just keep up. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But that is our podcast for this week, everyone. That's the Video Death Loop. You can ask the questions at videodeathloop.com. Ask us about your favorite AOL keyword target memory if you have one of those.
Why wouldn't you?
Yeah, it's legally required. On there, you can tell a friend, tell many friends, tell all your friends about us. Tell us about that we are a podcast that you can listen to on your favorite RSS feed wherever you may be. On there, rate us any amount of stars that you feel are deemed worthy. 5 stars if that is possible. That would be great. Thumbs up. I'm actually physically doing a thumbs up with that, even though we are mostly in audio form. But you know that I did that now, and you can trust that was a trustworthy thumbs up to make you ensure that you will hit 5 stars.
For sure.
Aaron, do you have anything left, anything you want to say before we wrap it up?
Have a great week.
Yeah. I'm going back to the podcast prison. Bye.
Bye.